Bible to the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3 this morning. I'm going to be reading today a little lengthy passage, but I'm going to try to cut this short so we can get to our Mother's Day celebrations, all right? Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 3. The kids are still filing out. All right, appreciate all of our youngsters today and our children's ministry workers. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. I'm reading from the New King James, okay? So 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, "O my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side, while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born." Then the other woman said, "No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." And the first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." This is quite a conflict going on. But they spoke before the king. And the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is the dead one and my son is the living one.' And then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other.'" That ought to take care of it. That'll stop the argument. But then, now notice this though. But then, verse 26, "Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, 'Oh my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him.' But the other one said, 'Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him.' So the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is the mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." I want to talk to you from that 27th verse as my text, but that 27th verse says, the king answered and said, "Give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him, for she is his mother." And I want to minister for just a few moments on, will the real mom please stand up? You know, this is an interesting story. I don't think I've ever preached from this particular story. I've mentioned it in messages in the past, but not very many times. It's a very interesting story in the Word of God. And we think, you know, it is given, and we look at it as being a story that was given to demonstrate the wisdom of Solomon. Actually, the first use of godly wisdom that God had given him was to settle this particular matter that involved two mothers. And we know the story about how that Solomon, you know, he took the place of his father David in the kingdom as king over Israel. And Solomon had went to Gibeon to worship the Lord, and he had offered 1,000 sacrifices before God, and he was worshiping and praying and seeking the face of God. And he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, you know, I just need help. And, you know, here I am a king. I just need your help in dealing with the people and ruling over this great nation. And the Lord appeared to Solomon that night in a dream. And God said to Solomon in that dream, he said, whatever you want, just ask me and I'll give it to you. Man, I'm telling you, now that'd be a dream to have, wouldn't it? It was actually more of a vision, but it was God appearing to Solomon, and he said to Solomon, whatever you need, whatever you want, just ask me and I'll give it to you. And so Solomon said to the Lord, he said, I'm just like a little child, Lord. I don't know how to come out. I don't know how to go in. I've been set in a place of rulership as the king over Israel, and I just need wisdom. I need an understanding heart is what he told the Lord. I need discernment. I need to know. I need wisdom to know how to handle situations and how to deal with the people and how to rule your people. And the Bible said that when Solomon prayed that prayer, it said that the speech of Solomon pleased the Lord. God was pleased with what Solomon had asked for, that he asked for wisdom. And the Lord said to Solomon, you know, God answered Solomon's prayer. And he told him, he said, what you've asked for, I'm going to give that to you. But you know, he gave him more than what he asked for. And that's the way God is. You know, if we're honest with God and we will ask God for the things that are in the will of God and humble ourselves before God, God will bless our life. Do you believe that? And the Lord said to Solomon, he said, because you've asked this thing, because you've asked for wisdom and you've asked for an understanding and a hearing heart, and you've not asked for wealth, you've not asked for riches, and God had given him a blank check. I mean, God had said to him, ask anything you want and I will do it. And I mean, you know, what would we do? I mean, what would that be if God gave us that blank check? How would we fill that in? What would we ask for? But God said, because you've asked for wisdom and you've not asked for riches, you've not asked for wealth, you've not asked for the life of your enemies, but you've asked for wisdom and an understanding and discerning heart, he said, I've answered your prayer. And he said, I'm going to give you wisdom. And Solomon, I'm going to make you the wisest man that has ever lived on the face of the earth. There has never been anyone that will have the wisdom that you have that has come before you, and never will there be anyone as wise that will come after you. Because you're going to have the wisdom of God. But he said, I'm going to also give you that which you've not asked for. He said, you hadn't asked for wealth or riches or honor, but he said, I'm going to give you a double blessing. And I'm going to bless you with riches and honor and wealth as well. So under the reign of Solomon, Israel became the greatest kingdom on the face of the earth. And under Solomon's reign, it was really a picture, a preview of what it's going to be like, even so much better of what it's going to be like during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Because he's the one, Jesus is the only one that is, you know, the Bible says that the Queen of Sheba traveled from a far distance to come and to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But he said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And there's going to be a greater than Solomon that will rule one of these days. But this, after God had blessed Solomon and answered his prayer and given him this wisdom, this was the first account of using the wisdom of God that God had given him. When these two prostitutes, two harlots, came to him with the dilemma that they had. And I read to you that story, and it's an amazing story. Because when we see this story, you know, it's in this text, it's a linking together. The story is about mothers. There's two moms involved. There's two children involved. And it's a story about mothers, but it's also a story about wisdom. And you know, I know those two go together. I said mothers and wisdom go together. How many of you mothers would say, yeah, we've got to have some wisdom to be the moms. And dads, how many of you all would say that too? I mean, parenting's a difficult thing, and especially in the days which we live today. So there has to be some wisdom involved. But this story, we kind of get lost sometimes because we say, well, this is a story that demonstrates the wisdom of Solomon, which it does. But it's also a story that if we look into it, gives us some teaching on motherhood from a very, very unlikely source. And there are some principles and there are some truths that I believe that we can glean from this story of these two harlots that come to Solomon with this situation. They both had children. They both had a new baby. The babies were were born 3 days apart, and in the middle of the night, one of the moms rolls over on her baby and suffocates it, and the baby dies. When she wakes up and realizes that her baby's dead, she takes it in the middle of the night over and does an exchange with her friend. She takes her living baby and gives her the dead baby. And so the next morning, as the mom wakes up to nurse the child, she notices something's wrong. She notices that it's not moving. She can't get any response. And so as the sun begins to come up and the light begins to come into the house, she examines the child and she notices, this isn't my baby. This is not mine. And so this is the conflict that's going on then between these mothers. They're trying to determine the truth. They're trying to get at the bottom of this and find out the truth. And so we see some things in this passage, in this story, that I believe are relevant to us and to our moms today. And the first thing I want you to notice real quickly this morning is that we see in this passage with these two moms is, and I think everybody could say amen to this, that mothers are not perfect people. Wouldn't it be great if they were? And these two mothers, you know, we know they had flaws. They were harlots, the Bible said. So they were not saints. So the scripture here is dealing with two individuals that are not perfect, that are not saved, that are not saints, but they are harlots, the scripture says. So today we're dealing with a couple of mothers here in this story that are not perfect. We're not preaching today about the perfect mom. We're not preaching today about the Proverbs 31 mom. We're not preaching today about the mother that is so, you know, I mean, just and I love that scripture about the Proverbs 31 mom. I wish there were more of them. Can somebody say amen? But the Bible says that woman is hard to find. She's a woman that her price is far above rubies. But these women that we're talking about today were far, far from what that Proverbs 31 lady was. One of the mothers here in this story, as a matter of fact, was a cruel, selfish, heartless lady who stole the child of another woman and then lied and gave her dead baby to that woman. It was a cruel thing, a selfish thing to do. So we see that these ladies are not perfect. And I want to say this morning, that not only were these ladies not perfect, and we look down and we say, well, yeah, they were terrible ladies, you know, they were women of the night, but can I say something to all of us today? Whether we're saved or whether we're not saved, whether we're a child of God or whether we're not, even those of us today who are saved, who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, can I say this? That none of us are perfect. Oh, there's coming the day, yes, when the trump of God sounds and we're going to be with the Lord, that we're going to receive that perfection. But there's no such thing on this side of the rapture as sinless perfection. I do believe the Lord has saved us from our sins. I do believe He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to live a life of righteousness and godliness. I do believe He's given us what we need through the power of the Holy Spirit to live victoriously over sin. But none of us today yet have attained that place of sinless perfection in our life. Nobody, no matter how good of a mom you are, and I know we've got some great mothers here today, but nobody is the perfect mother. And nobody has had the perfect mother. I wish I could say that my mom was the perfect mom. I don't know. You know, I guess the best comparison we could have to a perfect mom would be June Cleaver. Anybody that cooks dinner in a nice dress and a strand of pearls has got to be some kind of a mom. But the perfect mom, see, here it is, folks. The perfect mom has not been invented yet. The perfect mom has never existed. We do, you know, moms do as best as they can. And we here at Abundant Life Family Church, you know, we stand for moral purity. We believe in living right, and we believe in holiness and righteousness. And we believe that when a person gets born again and gets saved, that their life will change and God will clean us up. Amen? And we'll live a different kind of a lifestyle. We stand for that. We believe in that. But all of us make mistakes. And do you know, especially parents make mistakes. And parents falter and parents fail. And there are no perfect parents. And you know, I'm sure all of y'all, especially that the parents that have children that are already grown, and you can think, man, if I could go back and do some things different in rearing those children and raising those children, I would change some things. And I would do things different. But how many of y'all know? And there would be some things you would do, and there would be some things that you did that you wouldn't do, right? But how many of you all know today that we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, and we can't roll back the clock and go back and change anything? So, you know, we've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. But you know what? Even if you had a mom that you thought was perfect, that was the greatest mom on the face of the earth, that is great. That is wonderful. That is a blessing. But you know what? If you had a mom that wasn't the best mom and that did some things that were not right in your life, do you know what? Yeah, we believe in purity and doing things right, but we also believe in forgiveness, and we also believe in restoration, that even the moms that have messed up and that were not perfect, God forgives, and so should we forgive. Is that right? Amen. See, Mother's Day can be a difficult time for people, because Mother's Day brings back memories, you know, of our mom. And there are those that have memories of a wonderful mother who is in heaven today. That who's been, you know, you miss them. And it doesn't matter how long it's been if you've got a mom in heaven. Doesn't matter how long it's been since she died. On Mother's Day, you think about her. You think about her, and sometimes it's difficult for people to think about that. You know, it reminds us of that mom that's in heaven that we miss so dearly. But then there's others. See, there's others that Mother's Day reminds them of a mom maybe that was difficult, one that they could never please, one that was always hateful and hurtful. And you know, sad to say, there are some moms like that, but not very many. But see, the point is, it doesn't matter whether our mom was good to us or whether she was not good to us. And it doesn't matter what our moms did in the past, what they might have done to hurt us or be detrimental to make us, you know, to feel bad toward them. It doesn't matter. If that's the case, and do you know there are, and I don't know why I'm saying all this, but there are children, and I've heard people say this, that go back into the past of years and years in their childhood, and they think about something that their mom did against them or something that their mom did to hurt them, and they harbor an unforgiveness in their heart against that mom, against that parent. They say, well, I'll never forgive what they did. I'll never forgive the embarrassment they caused me or the hate or the hurt that they caused in my life. See, we've got to understand that mothers are not perfect. And as children, whatever they've done in the past, we have got to forgive. As Christians, we have got to forgive anyone and everyone that's done us wrong. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Even if that mother has failed, even if that mother is messed up, there's got to be forgiveness and there's got to be reconciliation. Because I'm going to tell you something today. You can't be wrong with your mother and still be right with God. Amen. We've got to honor our mom. Honor our mother and our father. That's the commandment with promise. Let me hurry along. So first of all, this story teaches us that mothers are not perfect. But thank God they can be forgiven for their faults. And they can be restored. And there can be reconciliation no matter what they've done in the past. God's a God of restoration and forgiveness. Amen? The second thing I want you to notice this morning is that mothers know their children. Is that right, moms? I said moms know their children. When this lady woke up in the middle of the night, this mother woke up in the middle of the night to nurse her child, she noticed that something wasn't right with her child. And when the light began to come up, the sun began to come up where she could see, she examined her child. In verse number 21, she said that she, "But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son in whom I had mourned." How many of you all moms ever said that to your son? "You're not my son that I would never raised you like that." But she recognized this was not her son. This woman's child was only a few days old, but she knew her child. And see, that's the way moms are. Moms know their kids. We can look at old baby pictures and old pictures of old family pictures, in which we did not too long ago. We went through some of those old pictures. And you see those pictures of those kids of yours when they were babies. And I'm looking at them and I'm saying, "Is that Gabe? Or is that Rachel? Or is that who? Which one is that?" When they're babies, because sometimes dads have a hard time figuring that out. But not mom. You take that. You know, if that, you can't figure that out, take that picture to mom, and mom will look at it right off and say, "Well, I know which one that is, and I know which one that is." How many knows what I'm talking about? You don't, because mothers know their children. Amen. You cannot fool mom. And I don't know, I'm going to talk to the kids for a minute today that are here. And you know, a lot of them went back to children's church. But kids, you can't fool mom. You can't pull the wool over mom's eyes. You can't con your mom or scam your mom, because your mom knows you. She knows when you're lying. She knows when you're telling the truth. She knows when you've been up to no good. Somebody say amen today. That mom can look at that child and tell when something's not right in their life. That's something God has given to a mom. They know their children. So don't think you can scam them. It amazes me, even today, the tricks that kids will try to pull off on their mom, that we tried to pull off on our mom, that they're still using the same tricks today. You know what I'm talking about? You know, those two girls get together and say, "I'm going to tell my mom I'm spending the night with you, and you tell your mom you're spending the night with me, and then we're going to go partying. And mom will never know anything about it." Let me tell you something. You can't scam your mom. You will be caught. You will. Your sin will find you out. You won't get by with it. It's just, you know, it's just good to be honest with your mom, amen, and do what's right. But those things, you know, never work out, because you can't fool her. Mom knows when you're trying to hide something. There's something about a mom. They've got that sixth sense. There's something about that mom. It's mother's intuition that they just know when something's not right with their kids. It's that sixth sense. Do you know that mothers have eyes in the back of their heads? Huh? I mean, my mom would be driving down the road and getting on to me, and I'm sitting in the back seat, and I'm not even looking back there. "Ricky, you better stop mocking me." How does she know that? Something about moms. They know their children. Can I get an amen? See, there's a special bond between a mother and her children. Your mom would be the best friend that you will ever know. And the sad thing is, most of us kids don't realize that until after mom's gone. And then there's so many times we wish, "Man, I wish I could talk to mom about this. I wish mom was here to see these kids and these grandkids." And I don't know how many times we've talked about that, you know, with my mom and my grandma, who are both in heaven. And we talk about our grandkids and say, "Man, wonder what Grandma Blanche would think about Georgia." You know, but we, you know, your mom is your best friend. She's the best friend you ever had, and you will ever have. And we need to love them, and we need to honor them, and we need to cherish them. Because the third thing that we see from this is not only are mothers not perfect, not only do mothers know their children, but mothers will sacrifice for their kids. Is that right? See, this mom, it said, she rose up before daylight to nurse this child. And so this was a, you know, and you moms know what I'm talking about. Maybe us dads do to a degree, but I not as much as moms do to know what it is. I mean, that mom, listen, that baby's in that crib. That baby's in that baby bed, can be in another room. And that baby can just give out a whimper in the middle of the night. And mom has radar. And mom is up, and she's in there to tend to that. That child can cry and scream, and that dad can sleep right on through it sometimes. Amen? But moms are not that way. But this mother got up in the middle of the night, early in the wee hours of the morning, to give some nourishment to her child. And we usually don't realize the sacrifices that mothers make for us, because the reason for that is because most of the time mothers don't tell us the things that they have sacrificed in order that we could have. You know, they're not holding that over our head, but many, many times I know that our moms have done without so the kids could have something. Are you with me? You know, that's a mother's love. It's a sacrificial love, because real moms are willing to sacrifice for their kids. This mother, to know who the real mother was, that, you know, will the real mom please stand up? Solomon, in order to find out which one of these moms was the real mother, he saw that the real mother was willing to sacrifice her motherhood for the life of her child. She was willing to let the other woman have her baby and to keep from seeing it cut in half and its life ended. That was the real maternal, motherly, sacrificial love that every mother has in their heart and life for those children. There's no love like a mother's love outside of the love of God. Amen? Because those moms will love those kids, whether they're right or wrong, or no matter what they do. And that's that motherly love. Solomon, in his wisdom, determined the real mother of this child by her sacrificial loves. And many, many parents and many moms have done without themselves so their kids could have what is needed in their life. So they could have the designer tennis shoes or whatever. Mom would sacrifice. Are you listening? Amen? That's that motherly love. And mom, you know how moms are. Somebody, and I had it, I didn't bring it with me, but I had a thing that told about gave the job description of a mother. And you've probably read that before, but how she's a chauffeur and she's an accountant and she's a homemaker, she's an interior designer, she's a, gosh, she's a counselor. And it just listed all of the different things that a mother does and said in today's economy, somebody figured it up that all that a mom does and the hours she puts in, that her pay should be about $1,000 a week. But she does all this. Moms do all this because of the love for their kids. And they, you know, moms take their kids to practices and school events and social events. And you support those kids in sports. And you support them in FFA and band and many other activities. Even when it means taking your time and it means work for, you know, that you have to do. Extra stuff you have to do to support those kids. And we do the same thing, you know, with our grandchildren. And that's a mother's love. But see, there's a word of caution in that too, because yes, we do. We encourage our kids to be involved in a lot of different activities and a lot of different things, and we encourage them and support them in that. But there's also a word of caution that we've got to be very cautious on that, in that area as well, because you can let your kids get so involved in everything else that the most important thing in their life is neglected. And that is their relationship with the Lord. And there's no sporting event or anything that they could get involved in that is more important than their relationship with the Lord. No secular activity is more important than that child's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got to be very careful that those activities don't take the place of the Lord. The more activities that are involved in that child's life and those parents' lives, sometimes the farther the Lord gets pushed back in that priority. And if we're not careful, we've got to be careful not to sacrifice our child's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They still need to be in church. They still need to be in Sunday school, and they still need to be in classes where they're taught the Word of God. And they need to be taught that the most important thing in their life is not their activity, but the most important thing in their life is Jesus Christ. That's got to be first. That's not a popular message, but it's still the Bible message. But mothers, they're not perfect, and they do know their children, and they do have a sacrificial love. But let me tell you, we find from this story that mothers have problems. This mother here had a problem. She had had her son taken away from her. Another lady was claiming to be his mother. There was no DNA testing at that time for them to check and see which one was telling the truth. There's a dilemma here. There's a problem here. And she doesn't know how to solve it. And she needs an answer. Listen, moms have problems today. Being a mother, I don't know, I already get an amen here. Being a mother can be high stress occupation. Is that right? Especially in the times we're living. Because moms, you have your problems, and you have your children's problems, and sometimes you have your husband's problems. I got a couple amens on that, but that's true. But it's a high stress occupation. And then, you know, moms that work outside the home, they have the problems of dealing with their job and with their work, and then the problems at home. And it seems like everything, or so much of the things, fall upon the mom. But a good mother always hurts when their children hurt. I mean, when they're having problems, you have problems. And it doesn't matter how old they get. Even if they're out of the home, you still feel what your children are feeling. Because motherhood is a lifelong ministry. Amen? It never ends until that mother goes to be with the Lord. As long as she's alive and those kids are alive, it's a lifelong ministry. And mothers face things every day that they don't know how to handle. They face things every day at home, in their children's lives. They don't know what to do. And so the thing about that is, the good thing is, that even though mothers have problems, here's the great news: mothers also have a God that will help them in all of their problems. Amen? You've got a God that you can turn to, that will help you. And God, your heavenly Father, will take the time to deal with your mess and to deal with your hurt and to help you in your problems if you'll just take those problems to the Lord. Solomon, the king, was a busy man, but yet he had time to deal with these two mothers that brought a problem before him. These two ladies didn't deserve any special time before the busy king, but Solomon made time for them. And I want you to know today, Mom, that when you're facing dilemmas and when you're facing family emergencies, you have got a heavenly Father that will always, always, always take time to listen to you and to help you to solve the problems that you're facing in your home, in your life, and in your family. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. God is always there for you. He's always on your side. And I'm telling you what, He's a lot wiser than Solomon was. He can give you the answer that you need. And that's what Solomon, that's what he did. God gave Solomon the answer to give to this lady, and gave her the answer that she needed to get her son back. God solved her problem. And I don't know what you may be going through today, moms. I just hope, you know, the Lord has helped me to minister something to help you today. But the bottom line is, the Lord's there for you. You may have a son today, moms. You may have a son or a daughter that has strayed away from the Lord. This woman lost her son, had him stolen away from her, but God brought him back to her and restored him and gave him back. Isn't that right? You know, God wants to restore your families. We're living in a day where families are messed up and ripped apart, and Satan is working overtime. He's working harder than ever. There's an attack on the families, upon homes today. There's an attack in this earth today and in the United States of America. There's a great attack on traditional family values. There's an attack today on biblical standards of marriage. Satan is doing everything he can, seeking to destroy every family that he can destroy. And I'm going to tell you something. Parents, moms, and dads, you and I are right in the middle of this struggle. But the thing that I want to convey to you this morning is we cannot give up. And I preached along that line last Sunday morning. We cannot give up. Regardless of the attacks of the enemy on the home and the family, upon parenting, we have still got to do what's right. We've got to be the mother and the father and the grandparent that God wants us to be. We've got to be the child that God wants us to be. It's time for the real mothers to stand up and be recognized. Amen. It's time for the real moms that know that they've made mistakes. The real moms that know their children, and they know that they want the best for their family, and they have that love. It's time for the real moms that are trusting God to stand up and take a stand and say, let me tell you something, the devil is not going to have my kids. This world system is not going to have my kids. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ is going to have my kids and my family. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Don't give up, because you're not in the struggle alone, mom. You're not in the struggle alone. God is on your side, and He's going to give you the answer and lead you and help you to always do the right thing if you'll seek after Him. Amen? Would the real mom please stand up? I want us all, let's stand this morning. Musicians, singers, come back to the platform if you would please. Hallelujah. I'd like for you to bow your heads with me this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And let's reverence the presence of the Lord.